Good morning. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us. On this day, we celebrate that. We celebrate in giving his life and being resurrected once again, Father. And we want to say today that we do believe that he is alive and he lives in us. And we believe, Father, that we will live in eternity with you because he was raised. I want to thank you today, Father, for your great love for us, that you were willing to send your Son into the world to give his life for us. I thank you for all the people here today, the body of Christ, the people that you love the most. And I pray that you bless them, Father. I pray that you help me as I speak your message today, that it will be from the Holy Spirit, Lord, that I'll be just a vessel carrying your word, Father, and that it will hit its mark. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, I've been enjoying the last few weeks on teaching on the Holy Spirit. I told you at the very beginning of the first session of me teaching of that it was pretty daunting trying to talk about the Holy Spirit. And I said it's like trying to explain God. And it's very difficult, really impossible, because he's a mystery. And the Holy Spirit's a mystery also. So I'm learning new things every time I study about the Holy Spirit and try to bring a message to you guys. And I've just really, really enjoyed it. But I found that, you know, since I've been preaching here at this church, I have noticed that it's been such a blessing to me. Everything that I study to get ready for the sermon on Sunday, it's just always like on my mind all week. And that in itself is such a blessing. And it just makes me want to say to y'all, look, write up a sermon for yourself. You don't even got to preach it, but just study like that. Study like you're going to be teaching it to somebody else. But I have loved teaching on the Holy Spirit. And last week I had a cool thing. Because I was cognizant of the Holy Spirit, because I've been teaching about it, I was able to go to a guy's house to work on his air conditioning unit. For anybody that doesn't know, I own a heating and air business. And I went to this guy's house. Apparently, we had put a system in for him last year, and I didn't know it. I didn't even know we'd put it. I think I was on vacation, and my son Wyatt sold the job to him, so they went and put a system in for this guy. Well, he called back saying that there was a weird smell going on, which is the worst call in the world, by the way. It's so hard to diagnose a smell because you don't know if it's coming from their house or from you or what it is. But anyway, I showed up there, and he was about a 75-year-old man, I would guess, and he had on a shirt that said, it's not magic, it's science. And so, I don't know, for some reason, immediately, I thought, this guy probably wasn't a Christian. I don't know why, but I think the shirt was made me think that. But I checked out the system. I couldn't find anything wrong, except for a dirty filter in there. And as I was leaving, I said, hey, Mr. whatever his name was, I said, listen, you know, I can't find anything wrong, but call me back if you need anything. And he said, can I just stop you for a second? And I said, sure. He said, can I talk to you? And I said, yeah. And he said, your son, Wyatt, and your whole crew, he said, hey, Mr. Wyatt, they really, really helped me while they were here. And he said, they were kind and respectful. And he said, and one thing that they didn't know is he said that my wife had just previously died. And right before we installed that unit. And they started crying. And I felt the Holy Spirit. I haven't done this in years. I used to do this all the time, and I haven't done it in years. But I felt like the Holy Spirit said, pray for this man. Pray for this man. But I didn't, because I was nervous. And so anyway, he started talking about his wife and telling me that he loved her so much. They were married for 47 years, and he misses her every day. She died of cancer, he said. He said, and I said, well, I'm so sorry to hear that. I'm so sorry to hear that. And he said, can I give you something? And I said, sure. And he ran back inside, and he came back with this little wooden cross. And he said, last year before my wife died, he said her dream was to go to Jerusalem. And he said, she's always wanted to go to Jerusalem. And he said, and we went there, and he said, and when we went to the place where Christ was crucified, the literal physical place where he was crucified. He said, there's a guy up there that carves these little crosses. And he said, for tourists. And he said, my wife bought about 5 or 6 of them. And I said, honey, she was sick. He said, she was sick that day. And he said, honey, why did you buy that? And she said, I'm going to call it my pocket cross. And she said, I'm going to carry it in my pocket and through this cancer when I'm getting sick and down. She said, I'm going to put my hand in my pocket. I'm going to remember what he has done for me. And he said, well, a few months later, she passed away. And he said, and I kept thinking about that. And he said, and so I called the guy and I had him carve me 100 of them and had him sit down. And he said, and I want you to have one. And he gave one to me. Well, how many of you know then I feel like I got to pray for the guy now? I mean, if I left there, I said, can I pray for you? I can tell that your heart is still really tender about your wife. And I want to let you know that she's with the Father. She's with the Father. And he loved you so much that he gave her to you. Anyway, I laid my hands on this guy, and he put his head on my shoulder and just wept. When I got done, I literally had tears all over my shirt. Gave him a big hug, and he said, I feel so much better, and he walked back in the house. I just couldn't help but think that is the power of the Holy Spirit. That's being sensitive. I could have walked in that service call. Sorry, no smell. I mean, I can't figure out what's going on. I'll see you later. But instead, I was sensitive to it, and I got me a pocket cross now that I really do value. I think it's great. Holy Spirit is with us, and He's leading us. So much of it is just remembering that He is a part of our life, that He wants to be leading. I believe that if you thought about Him like that every single day, that He would bring somebody to you every single day. Do you think that? If you're out and about and you're asking the Holy Spirit to reveal things to you, about the kingdom of God, to bring people into the kingdom of God, I think that He would give it to us every single day if we could just keep that on the forefront of our mind. Back when I was young, me and Jack worked together all the time in my early 20s, and we were filled with the Holy Spirit and on fire for God. And I felt we worked all the time together, and I felt like that every day, Jack, felt like God was bringing people across our path. Jack and I would go, we'd do heating and air together, we'd go to job sites, and we'd turn on the radio. Most people were playing, you know, Iron Maiden or something like that, and we'd put on Charles Simpson sermons or Bill Murphy sermons or Christian music, and that's a conversation starter. Most people didn't like it, and then some that did, you know, you could talk to them. But I want to be on fire like that again. I'm 47 now. I want to be back in that place, Jack. I want to be back in a place where I'm hearing the Holy Spirit. Do you want to be there? Do you want to feel that again? How many of you feel like that when you were younger, you had a lot more fire than you do now? I know I'm not old, but I'm older than I was. And I'm telling you, you can get burned out. You can get tired. And you can start to believe this lie, that life is not just about God. That provision and work is everything. But I think God's doing a new thing in us. And I think He's saying, it's time for you to get filled with the Holy Spirit again and to walk in fire, on fire for God. Amen? Amen. Well, that was part of my introduction. Like I said, I've been enjoying the Holy Spirit. I found the Holy Spirit in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Like I said earlier, or the title of my Holy Spirit sermons is The Holy Spirit is Everything. Because He is everything, and He is everywhere. He is in all aspects of God, all aspects of our lives. If you call yourself a Christian, He is in you, and He is leading you, whether you know it or not. And He was in the death on the cross, and He was in the resurrection. In Romans 8, the scripture says the Holy Spirit raised Christ from the dead. The Holy Spirit raised Christ from the dead. We've talked this before. I've said it, I think, last week, is that the Father thinks it, the Son says it, and the Holy Spirit does. He is the action of God. So when God wanted to create the world, He sent the Holy Spirit to hover over the waters, and He created the world. The world. He raised Christ from the dead. The scripture says in Romans 8, and it says, and that same Spirit lives in him. You. The same Spirit lives in you. So He was in the resurrection. He was in the death of Christ. He was there at the cross. In Hebrews 9, the scripture says, by the Holy Spirit, Christ offered himself as an unblemished lamb for the sacrifice. So Christ was empowered by the Holy Spirit to be able to be victorious on the cross. It gave him, I imagine, the courage to go do it. So he's in everything. Amen. But today I wanted to talk more about Jesus Christ and the great gift of his death and resurrection on the cross. How many of you know your sins are forgiven today? How many of you know that? Let me hear another amen. How many of you know that your sins are forgiven today?
Amen.
Because of what happened that we're celebrating today. Because the scripture says that he bore the wrath of God on a tree for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For us. Every time I preach a sermon now, I keep getting moved in my spirit of his great love for us. That he provided everything we need. I know I say that every week. That's a scripture. He provided everything we need for life and godliness. But Christ was born and given to us because he loved us. And then Christ lived for us on this earth in human form because he loved us. And then he died because he loved us. For us. And guess what? He lives today because he loves you. And he is interceding for you today. At the right hand of the Father. If you're wondering what Christ is doing today on Easter, he is sitting at the right hand of the Father in sovereign power, full of love and mercy, the strength. He's not the same Christ in physical form that he was when he was here. We should go to Revelation and talk about his white hair, the scripture says. The lightning in his eyes and a sword in his mouth. And he is for us. He is for you. We don't deserve it, but he's for us. And he is interceding for us today. And he gave his life for you today. And I want to say to you, this is my message. It is called, You Are Forgiven. I have preached this many times. I didn't intend on preaching this today. Lee is my witness that I wrestled all week with this. I spent hours upon hours trying to write a sermon today that you think would be pretty simple because I know the topic. It's going to be the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I wrote four different sermons, and I felt like God nixed each and every one of them, and he told me, tell them that they are for you today. Two things God told me. You are forgiven and we want you to receive it. Receive it. And the second one is this. It's time to forgive. It is time for you to forgive. I don't understand that. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit that is his word today for somebody in here. And I felt like that it was important enough to God that I am going to preach on forgiveness. Amen? Y'all with me still? Somebody needs to hear it. Say it with me, I am forgiven.
I am forgiven.
Say it to the person next to you, say, you are forgiven. Now say to the person next to you, it's time for you to forgive. Turn with me to Isaiah 53. This is Isaiah's prophetic prophecy about Jesus Christ. Thousands of years later, hundreds of years for sure, before Christ died, speaking about what he was going to do for us. And this is how it goes. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot Like a root out of dry ground, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and he was rejected by men. He was a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. But listen to this. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace is upon him. And by his wounds, you are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the sin of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants, for he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions or sins of my people, he was stricken, and he was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor any deceit was on his mouth. Listen. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. And after the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities again. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercessions for the transgressors. Such a powerful verse. He was crushed for you and I, for our sins. The punishment that we deserve was upon him. The peace that we feel was because he was willing to lay down his life for us. And not just us, but for everyone. Your children. Hear me, parents. Your children don't suffer because Christ was willing to lay down his life. And the Father was willing to raise him up in the Holy Spirit. What do we say to that? What is our response to that in our everyday life? Is that too much to bear? Is that too overwhelming to think that he went through everything that he went through out of his great love for us? And I don't even spend 5 minutes with him in the morning. I'm too busy. We're too busy. Last night, Wyatt and Orton watched The Passion, and Wyatt would say, it's so hard to watch. You can't even watch it on a movie. What do you give to God every day? How much of your life are you giving to God every day? We come here on Easter and worship God, and we love being together, and we love church and pastel color. But what are we giving to every day? Where's your heart at? What does this do to you when you read that scripture that I just read? That he was marred beyond all recognition. Do you think that you give God enough? Can you even do it? And will you? There is no amount of your life that is too much for you to give God. I'm not trying to beat you up. This is how I felt when I read this, he was crushed for us. God gave us everything. He withheld nothing from us. He gave us His very best. The Scripture says, while we were yet sinners, He died for us. While we were yet His enemies, He died for us. Would you do that? Can you forgive the guy next to you? Can you forgive the guy at work that has wronged you? Can you forgive your wife? Knowing now what He's done for us, can you do that? Can we walk that out? You are forgiven. How many of you receive that? Raise your hand if you receive His forgiveness. You know what that means? Now you have to give it. Now you have to give it. I tricked you. You have to give it. If you've received it, you have to give it. I know this is heavy. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be too heavy. It's just heavy. It's just heavy when you think about it. And we can play nice, and I could be more professional with it, I guess, up here and try to get you all to come back. But when I think about my three sons and how much I love them, and I think about giving one of them up to die a miserable, brutal death like Jesus Christ did, and if I did that so that the other two could have a life, not just a life, a good life, that they could relate to me as their father, and that would not have happened if I wouldn't have given one of them up. And then I heard them fighting with each other and being unwilling to forgive one another. Do you know how hurt I would be by that? I would say, I gave my son, your brother, we had to watch him die a terrible death, and now you're angry with your brother? You can't forgive? That's what we're dealing with. He was crushed for our transgressions, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. One of my favorite stories of forgiveness is the story of Peter. I love the story of Peter. In fact, let's read it real quick, and I'll try to move through it relatively quickly. I'm not going to be in too much of a hurry, if that's all right, y'all. Matthew 26, 31, one of my favorite stories in all of the Scriptures, because it's so relatable. Matthew 26, 31, what's going on right now is that Christ is getting ready to be crucified, and He's at the Lord's Supper. They just had the Lord's Supper, where Jesus brought them to the upper room and is telling them what's going to happen. One of my favorite lines in there is the Scripture says that He got up and put on a towel around His waist, and He said, now I'm going to show you the extent of my love. And He bowed down and watched it. So that just happened. Okay. Shortly after that, Judas does what Judas does, betrays Jesus Christ. They come to get Him at the Mount of Olives. Jesus has been sweating blood, praying that this cup be passed to me. Let it pass. But not my will, but yours be done. So they take Jesus into the courtyard, and I imagine that it's a scary time. It's nighttime. Soldiers are all around. Peter's already cut somebody's ear off. Cross, put it back on. And they're going into the courtyard here to try Jesus. Peter follows along. And he's talking with Christ, and the Scripture says, then Jesus told them, this very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. But Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same thing. Man, I can identify with that so much. And I always have been able to. Maybe I'm, I don't know. I just understand it. I understand it. How many of you have professed your love for God and said, I'll never do that again? Or you might have even said, I'll never do what that guy did. I've done it. I had it written in a journal that I don't want to be embarrassed all week. And it says, man, I never doubt God again. He gave me my first son when we couldn't have children. And then we tried for the second one for like a week, and it was like we couldn't have it. I was like, where are you? We understand. We understand, Peter, don't we? Listen, we love God. We love Him. Never love Him. I love Him. We want to do right. We want Him to think. Well, we want to believe that we would be that guy. That I would die for you. I would die for you. So we understand Peter throughout this. And then for Jesus to say that back to him, that was probably pretty painful. After you just said, I'll do anything for you. And he said, well, actually, you're not. And I imagine Peter, listen, that would make me want to double down. You know, like, okay, I'm going to be on the lookout for that rooster. All right. So, I'll never do that, he said. Let's turn right over to Matthew 26. I'm sorry, this is the wrong verse here. Matthew 26:69. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. Say, servant girl. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway where another girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow is with Jesus of Nazareth. And he denied it again with an oath. I swear I don't know this man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses on himself. And he swore to them, I don't know. Immediately, a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And when he went outside and wept bitterly, which I would have done too, which I had done. Like I said, the story is so relatable. It's a scary time. Listen, those guys were in real danger. You have to put yourself in the position of the disciples. Things have gotten really heated around Jesus Christ. He is hot. And they're looking for any way to kill him. Any way. And the disciples, they know how violent these people are. And they just grabbed the best friend and teacher. Jesus probably roughed him up and then bringing him back. And Peter is watching this from a little bit of a distance. He doesn't know what to do. He's nervous. Should I go and try to help him? Should I not? I don't know what to do. And all of a sudden, a little girl says, hey, don't you know Jesus? And his knee jerk out of fear is, no, why would you say that? Why would you say that? Now, imagine the first one, we for sure can all understand. I can understand all of them, but the second one's a little worse. How do you think you go when that rooster crows? Listen, I don't have to ask you, how do you think? You felt it. I know you felt it. I felt it. When you say, why did I do it? And you're talking to God. What did I do? Why did I do it again? I promised you I wouldn't do it. This is the perfect example of that. I promised you. I would not do this. And I did it again. I did it again. And then what comes? Shame. Yeah. Heavy on your back. Hard to even function when you're feeling that way, isn't it? But listen, the bad thing about Peter, the bad thing about this situation is he had to watch him walk away forever. This is like having an argument with your father the day before he dies, and you don't get to say, I'm sorry. Or somebody that you love. That's the kind of pain Peter's feeling right now. And like I said, so relatable, so understandable. And that's why it's perfect. It's the perfect example of how resurrection brings forth life and forgiveness. I've told this story many times, and I'll tell it again because it's just relatable again. But when I was 16 years old, I was lost in partying and doing all kinds of things that I shouldn't be doing, and I had a party at my house one night, and my parents were gone, and they told me, do not have a party, and I had a party. And I ended up, the people from Madison Central found out about it, so I had like 50 people at this party, people I didn't even know that were there. They were running through my upstairs and downstairs. Teenagers don't ever do this. It's a terrible idea, and you can't hide it. And anyway, so I went along with it. I was like, you know what, it's already ruined. The house is already a wreck. Your parents are going to find out. Let's just party. And back in those days, you had big stereos with big speakers. And we had cassette tapes, for those of y'all can remember. Cassette tapes. And when I was 8 years old, my dad recorded me being baptized on a cassette tape. And he let me listen to it about the time. And it meant a lot to me when I was young, you know. My dad baptized me, so I got to hear him pray over me, and it was all scratchy, but it still meant a lot to me. It was still in a time where my dad was walking with God, and just was important to me. But somebody found that tape in that night of that party, and they grabbed it, and they put it in the stereo, and blared it. So you can imagine, we're all partying down, and we're drinking and everything else, and somebody, all you start hearing is, and this man is going to be a man of God. And he's prophesying, and people are speaking in tongues on there because I came from a strange charismatic church. And so it was embarrassing. And you know what my knee-jerk reaction was, like Peter? As I went over there and grabbed it, and I threw it against the wall in front of everyone. Like a 16-year-old. Insecure. Fooled up. And I broke it. And laughed it off and went back to doing what I did. I was made fun of, for all about 30 minutes, and everybody forgot about it. But I remember sitting there at the table, looking over in the corner of the room and seeing this shattered table. It didn't mean a lot to me. And that night, when everybody left and I went home and cleaned up, and I was looking in the mirror, I think I felt about like Peter felt. Low. How did I get here? What am I doing? What am I doing? Am I that ashamed? Am I that ashamed of who I really was? And how I was by my father and my mother? And guess what? Can't get it back. Just like people. I couldn't get it back. And that was a hard night and a hard day. And then I got a call. And just that. Sometimes we do things and we think we can't get them back, but we can. Years later, I was talking to my dad, and I'd become a grown man and I was married, and I was telling my dad about that story. And he said, I can never talk about stories. And he brought it down to me, and he has it still to this day. So it was another change. We're about to find out if Peter's going to get another chance to. So turn with me real quick to John 21. We're getting near the end here, guys. The Gospel of John. Y'all still with me?
Yeah.
All right. John 21, 1 through 25. So real quick, Christ has been crucified, and all is lost, and they are heartbroken, the disciples, the women who followed him. Everybody is so disillusioned in thinking, I thought he was the one. I thought he was the one. And it looked like that everything, they just were confused, I'm sure, but also I can imagine the letdown of watching him pass away and not knowing what was going to happen after that. But there have been some rumors from the ladies that somebody had went to the tomb and that the stone was rolled away. But they didn't believe him, did they? But Christ had risen. But Peter and James and John and those guys didn't know that yet. And Peter was down, and I think that he just decided he was going to go fishing. Because that's what he did. He was a fisherman. So he decided, I'm just going to go fishing. Which is what you do a lot of times when you're depressed. You do what you do best. John 21 says, afterwards, well, first Jesus appeared to Thomas. And says, afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two other disciples were together. I'm going to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and they got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. And he called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say this, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off. And he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed him in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire burning, a burning coal there, with fish on it. And some bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who you are? Who are you? They knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came and he took the bread and he gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time. Do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted, but when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Let's just stop right here. I'm getting low on time, but I want to tell you that there's no place that you can go to get away from God. And there's nothing that will separate you from the love of God. There's nothing that you can do that Christ will not forgive you. And you can always come back. You can always come back to it. How many of you know Peter needed forgiveness? He didn't just want it. He was desperate for it. So desperate. That's why he was the only one to jump in the water. And swim in the water. I love the story. Y'all love that story? Isn't that so good? How kind of it, of Christ, to spend that time with him. Not only did he forgive Peter's sin and what he did, but what did he do? He elevated him. He gave him the keys to the kingdom. That sin didn't hold him back at all. He has been forgiven much, not much. But Peter has been forgiven much. And so have you. And so have I. I want to tell you today that it's not too late. It's not too late. Christ is willing and ready today to forgive you all of your sins. All you have to do is reach out your hand and receive it. Do you hear me? That's it. He wants to give you forgiveness because he wants you to walk in freedom. The Father sent the Son so you wouldn't have to walk around with shame and guilt all of your life. He wants us to be done with that. This has been heavy on my heart for months and months. He wants us to walk in freedom. Free from our guilt and shame. He wants us to be able to stand boldly before the throne, knowing that it is Christ in us that he sees and not us. He loves us that much. And he wants you to be free from your shame today, just like he set Peter free. What would have happened to Peter all of his life if he would have never had that moment? And Christ knew that. The Father knew that. So he gave him the moment of reinstatement, and he wants to give you the moment. Today. He wants to give it to you today, I'm telling you. Go to him today and receive forgiveness. And then, here, like I said, turn around and give it to somebody else. We all have things in our lives, from our past, sometimes even from our childhood, that need to be forgiven. Set yourself free by forgiving. And follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. You are a follower of Christ. There's no reason that you can hold unforgiveness over anyone. I know that's hard to hear sometimes. There's people that have wronged me. Does that mean you have to like them? You don't have to be their door. But you have to forgive them. And you have to give. If not, you're not going to ever be productive in the kingdom of God. You're going to be always plagued by guilt and shame all of your life. Don't wait another minute. Go home today. Give thanks for the gift that was given for you today in the gift of Jesus Christ in his resurrection. And then forgive whoever it is that's in your life. And you will rejoice. We will rejoice together, just like Peter did. Listen, jump in that water and go get it today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Heavy sermon. Happy Easter. Stand up. Stand up. Let me pray for you. Isn't he good? Isn't God good? He has provided everything. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your Son. Father, help us, help us, help us, help us to see you clearly, to be willing to give you all of our lives, knowing that you gave everything, Father. Lord, we glory in Jesus Christ today. We thank you for everything that he's done for us, all the implications of his death and resurrection, Father, which we don't understand. But Lord, what we do understand, let us grab a hold of the Father. Let us walk it out, not just talk about it. Let us live it, Father, even if it hurts. Because it sure hurt Christ. But Lord, you raised him up today. You raised him up, Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I believe you want to raise us up. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the body of Christ. Thank you for this wonderful day, these wonderful days, this season of life that we're in. Help us, Father, to find joy in being today. We bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, guys. Happy Easter.